This morning, I'm very excited to share a couple of things with you out of the scripture, and I've been wondering where should I start. Sometimes everything seems like it all goes together wonderfully, and it's all one place, and I've got a couple of different things. So please turn with me. Let's start off in the book of Deuteronomy. That's probably a good place to start off. In the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, beginning with verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase, you may enter and possess the land that the Lord your God promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. And you know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Now, let's move over. Let's skip down to verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Well, I guess one of the dangers of being blessed is that we can think that we accomplished it on our own. It's somehow a result of our hard work or our luck or whatever you want to think it is, and to forget about the Lord who got you where you are. And he's calling on us to not forget the Lord when the times of blessings do come to us. And looking at verse 10 again, he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. I have been spending time in the King James Version lately. I'm not particularly a King James person. I find it kind of awkward to read. The language is very different and difficult. And, but you know, I've become so familiar with the stuff in the NIV, which I normally use, that sometimes when I read it in King James, I see things that are there that I just didn't pick up. And so I look through the King James, I'm like, wow. And then I'll go back and look in NIV, I'm like, well, it's there. Why didn't I notice it? Maybe I was just over familiarity. But as I was looking at that verse 10, it says, when thou hast eaten and thou hast full, thou shalt bless the Lord. King James, it says it just a little bit. I mean, NIV says it a little bit different. It says, praise the Lord your God. You know, when you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. King James says it, bless the Lord your God. And I was doing a lot of thinking. We do lots of talking about God blessing us for things, but this is talking about us blessing God. And it's like, how do we bless God? That's a good question. How do we bless God? Now, we can bless God by singing. And truly, when we come to church on Sunday, for most of us, that's the only time in a week we sing, right? Yep. I mean, I do sing in the morning when I show up at Swim to the girl who sits at the front desk because I think about what time she's had to get up in the morning. So I like to say good morning to Erica. I like to sing a little bit. But I think for most people, they don't sing other than when they're in church. And so it's like something that we don't know. We don't do. It's not a part of us. But it's something that we have the ability to do. And it's not like when we come to church, we're singing for the people around us. It's something that we're offering up to God. You know, all of our voices are different, some trained, some untrained, but it comes up from our hearts. It's something that we're offering to Him. We're offering Him our voices. That's one way we can bless the Lord. But my mind went to Romans chapter 12, very popular verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let me read to you. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I would say, this is another way that we can bless the Lord, by offering Him ourselves. And they put some qualifiers on it here. It says, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So offering ourselves to Him, it says, not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. And that means spiritually alive to God. Sometimes I see people and it almost seems like the whole spiritual side of them is shut off. You know, that's one thing that I do feel bad about. I've got a number of friends that I see up. I think of some of the guys I lift weights with. And they do their work, so they're into their work. And then they have their family responsibilities, so the family part of them, and then they have their personal pursuits, the weightlifting stuff. And there's some of them that, you know, if I ask them about anything of a spiritual nature, they'll be like, I don't even think about these things, Doug. I mean, that's what they'll say to me. It's sort of like the whole spiritual side of them is something that they just have, for whatever reason, made their mind up, I just don't go there. And so they sort of go through life doing their routines and operating in all the other parts of their life, but it's like the spiritual part of their life is something that they, maybe they're uncomfortable going there. Some, I think, just avoid it. And maybe they don't even think why they avoid it. They just kind of stay away from it. But to really be fully alive means to be alive in all ways. And one part of us is the spiritual part of us. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and He comes and lives on the inside, we have an ability to walk in fellowship with Him, an ability to go through life where by His Spirit, He'll guide us. And sometimes He kind of opens our eyes up and gives us an ability to see and appreciate things that otherwise we might miss. Sometimes we feel impressed to go one way as opposed to another way. Being spiritually alive to God. So as we offer ourselves to Him, we blessing God, we are saying, Lord, I'm going to go there. I'm going to be open that You might be talking to me about the things that are going on in my life. I'm going to be open to the fact that You're trying to show me things. And I'm going to look at things and I'm going to be thinking in my mind and my heart and wondering, is this the way you want me to go, Lord? Spiritually alive to God. Having a responsive heart. Living in active fellowship with Him. So, a living sacrifice. He says, holy. To be holy is, there's a couple of different things that holiness implies, but one of the things that holiness implies is absence of moral defilement. Absence of moral defilement. This is such a difficult thing to talk about in right now in 2017, because there are some things that used to be so far away, which are so close right now. When it comes to moral defilement, you do not have to travel into the city and drive to the seedy part of town to be around moral defilement. It comes into your house on your satellite dish or through the cable. It's on your phone. I mean, there's stuff, all kinds of stuff that a person can expose themselves to, that there are plenty of people who lived before us who lived their entire lifetimes and was never exposed to some of that stuff. I mean, it used to be people would come back from war, and I mean, they wouldn't want to talk about things because some of the things they saw and experienced were so shocking and troubling. And it's like, well, guess what? You can open up YouTube and put in a couple search parameters, and who knows what you can come up with? I mean, there's no end to the stuff. I had a discussion with some of our 20-year-olds, and we were talking about handheld, our electronics. And one thing that they're recognizing is, you know, they're at the age where they first got their hands on these things when they were like, I don't know, 12, something like that, Carlos. Miss Amy, where's Miss Amy sitting? Teaches elementary age kids. How many of those young elementary age kids, what percentage of your classroom all had smartphones?
They all have access to them because their parents, and they all use them.
What grades did you teach?
Last year I had third and fourth grade, and at least half of them had phones.
Third and fourth grade. You hope that they're on the Disney Channel. You hope that they're playing games. You hope that they're learning new spelling words. Or they're using social media to learn how to speak new languages. And that they're going to get a heads up, a foot up, so they're doing extra good in school. Those are good things to hope. But we know that there's a whole lot of other stuff out there that you can easily get yourself into. I remember one time, this was a couple of years ago, and I decided that we were covering something in the Old Testament, and I wanted to show my class something, and so I had my laptop plugged into the video projector, so it's up on the big screen, and something came up, and I said, shoot, I'll show you a picture of that. And so I went on Google, and I put in the name of the thing that I wanted to show them a picture of, and I wasn't thinking. Because there's some things that you could take it this way, or you could take it this way. And I wasn't thinking about it when I put in the search terms. And I pressed search, and bang, up came some stuff with pictures next to it. And it's like, oh, I wasn't thinking that way at all. And it's like, how fast, you know, all time stops as your finger's going, no. And all the kids, I mean, if they're ever paying attention, it's at times like that. And do they go home from school and say, let me tell you what Pastor Doug talked about. I mean, what is it that they say? Do you know what Pastor Doug put up on the big screen in class today? You know, the parents like, hey, guess what I heard you did in Bible class today? It's like, no, no. You don't have to go looking for this stuff. It's right there. So to be a holy person, offering yourself to God, I mean, we literally are, every day is sort of like tippy-toeing through a minefield. And the whole question is it possible to tippy-toe through the minefield? I'd say with God's help and you intentionally trying to do it, yes. But if you're not intentional about it, you're just going to get caught up with all the stuff that's going on around you. And that's not the best way. Be holy. Let me share a couple scriptures with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 12, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Verse 13, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. And the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, therefore you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. So back to that question, you know, how do we bless the Lord? We bless the Lord by offering ourselves to him and by keeping ourselves holy. Now in this passage I just read to you, I just kept thinking, man, it's amazing how many times we're seeing the word body mentioned. And altogether, it mentions it 8 times. We're told that our body is not meant for sexual immorality. Our body is meant for the Lord. It says we are to honor God with our bodies. There's a warning that those who sin sexually are involving their bodies in the whole thing, and that isn't God's plan. That's not what he wants for us. It says all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So when you're sinning, it's not just you're sinning against God, you're sinning against this body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Recently, we cut the cable at our house. I just was getting tired of paying the cable company, and Tammy and I don't watch very much TV, so we said, let's cut the cable. And so then I promptly went out and bought Consumer Reports, because they had an article about cutting the cable, and different options. So we've been looking through the various options, and some of you know all about this. I'm new, so I'm doing a free trial of Hulu. So it's like, wow, neat. I Love Lucy's on there. Like, that's nice. Lots of good shows. I mean, Tammy's, Doug, mark that as one of our favorites. I don't watch Design on a Dime. It's not one of my favorites. You mark it right now. Okay. It'll be marked. Jenny says, mark Cupcake Wars. I don't watch Cupcake Wars. Mark it. But then we start looking down through some of the various options. Oh, look at all the free movies. We start looking in various categories. It's like, oh my goodness. Who would watch this? I mean, if you are into violence, it's on there. If you are into anything sexual, it's out there. And I'll tell you right now, kids are experts at clearing their viewing history. Parents. And we live in a world where there's just lots going on sexually. And lots of the stuff isn't stuff that's appropriate for us. It's not pleasing to God. God's the one that has created sex. It has its place. But goodness gracious, every place other than that is where the world wants to bring it in. And here in the scriptures they're telling us is that our body isn't made for that stuff. We're not supposed to involve our bodies in that stuff. It says our bodies are not meant for sexual immorality. Goes all the way to the end. It says we are meant to honor God with our bodies. It's part of his plan for us. Turn with me, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 5. I have not been able to get away from this one this week. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because those are improper for God's holy people. Wow. That's how it's supposed to be with his church. There isn't even supposed to be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. Or of impurity, or of greed. Unfortunately, there's been too many churches where this has not been the way it's been. There has been sexual immorality. There has been greed. And that isn't how it's supposed to be. You know, what is a church really supposed to be? A church is supposed to be like Jesus Christ in the community. Really? When someone steps through these doors, what they should find is what they would find if they stopped by Jesus' house. We should treat people who step through these doors like Jesus would treat them. Now that is the mark of whether or not we're a good church. All the other things are secondary. Sometimes people take all kinds of other stuff and put them up as if they're the most important thing. They're not. We're supposed to be like Christ. Therefore, the things we really need to work on is not so much the building on the outside, is what we are. There shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Verse 4, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And let me hit one other thing, and this might sound like I'm taking a jump on something that's completely unrelated, but I think it does relate in the end. This week is, well, it was a week ago, as I was studying looking at Ephesians 5. I got down in the end of Ephesians 5. They got this whole section on wives and husbands. And verse 25 begins that whole section for husbands. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and his church." You know, it's this paragraph, what I just read you, is very complicated in one way. Paul's talking about the relationship between a husband and his wife, and at the same time, he's talking about Christ's relationship to the church. And those things are supposed to have a lot in common. That's a lot to think about. And one of the things I just want to zero in on is, look at that verse 26. Well, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her." Ready? Verse 26. "To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." I've read that, and I think it's one of these little scriptures that I just went over, and I don't think I ever really totally got it. And as I was thinking about that, look at what they're saying here. Is there's something about Jesus washes his bride, the church, with the water of the word. There's a sense in which the church is being continually being cleansed through the word. All right? And remember that he's talking about the husband's relationship to the wife. At the same time, he's talking about Christ's relationship to his church. And I believe, men, that there is a sense that something cleansing happens in our homes when we open up and we read the word. I believe that. I was reading something a week ago, and it says one of the most powerful things that a man can do for his wife and his family is to sit down in his house and open up the Bible and read it and have an open heart and then try to live it. And the author said, it's sort of like this whole thing, the washing with the water of the word. Guys, think about it. If we sit down and we open up the scriptures and we start reading, we're going to go through our day and we're going to be thinking about what we read. And it is going to come up in conversations when we're talking with our wives and we're talking with our kids and we're sitting around the table. So if we do that, it's going to be bringing the effect of God's word into our homes. That's something we are supposed to do. All right, let's wrap the sermon up. Wrap it up with this. Back into Deuteronomy. It says, when all these blessings come into your life, it would be very, very easy to forget about God. He says, don't do that. He says, when you come into the land and you enjoy all the good, beautiful things that the Lord has had for you, stop. And you will stop and bless the Lord thy God for the good that he's given thee. Bless the Lord. And I'd like you this week to just think about, what can I do in my life to bless the Lord? offering myself to him, living in active fellowship with him, not allowing myself to be a part of the morally defiling things that are around me, but keeping myself clean for him. That's how you bless the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, I know that this week everybody here is going to have all sorts of experiences. And those experiences will give us opportunities to choose things. We can choose what sort of things we want to add to the conversations around us. We can choose who we're going to call, where we're going to go, how we're going to do things. And I pray, Lord, that through the choices we get to make in the week, that, Lord, you would help us to find ways that we can bless you through our lives. For, Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. You've given us things, and we feel like, Lord, that our cups are just overflowing. So, Lord, we want to bless you. So guide us and help us to see just what that means. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.